Well, it is good to have with us this evening our brother Johnny Whiteside. I'm glad that he's here. He got lost as he came here. I'm not sure where he got lost, between Macaron and Swat or somewhere. Not a good place to get lost. We're glad the Lord has brought him this far and that he's in our midst tonight. And he's come to speak of his Saviour and to give a word of testimony. And we trust the Lord will bless him and encourage him tonight as he comes and speaks to us.
Well, it is good, eventually, to be here tonight. I left about 20 to 5 in Puerto Vogue, and I thought I'd give myself loads of time. And everything was going well until the sat-nav went haywire. And I, see, to be honest, see if somebody asked me where I'm at, I've no idea. I don't know if I'm close to Coleraine or Port Rush or where I'm at. But it is good to be here. I'm glad I made it. I followed the faithful old signposts. You can't go wrong with the old signposts, so you can't. And I eventually made it. It is, I would like to thank the Reverend Lucas for inviting me to come along tonight and to give a word of testimony. And I might be many a mile to drive, but it's an absolute privilege to witness what Jesus Christ has done for me in my life. And I truly mean that. No, we can do many things in life, but there's no greater blessing than to tell others of Christ. And tonight we do pray that we would know the Lord's presence. We might as well go home if we don't. There's no point me standing here ranting and raving and telling you all about Johnny Whiteside. It's the Lord I want to tell you about tonight. And it's the Lord that we need a fellowship with tonight and to worship. And if you're not saved, it's the Lord that you need to come to know. And before you leave this building tonight, it's my prayer. And certainly I know it's a prayer of your minister and many others that you would get saved. I love that word, saved. It's a word nowadays some churches don't like using. I'm saved. I'm saved by the grace of God and to glory to God. I want to read from 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I always use this portion when I'm giving my testimony. I think it's very relevant to my testimony. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. And verse 17, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And all things are of God, who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and have committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We do pray that God will bless the reading of his word. It's that verse 17, well-known verse that I apply to my testimony. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And this verse tells us that when God saves you, he changes you. You know, there's a gospel preached today called easy believism. And what many churches will preach is say a few words, utter a few words, and then just go back to your old life. And how, even in my own work, I know so many professing Christians, but yet their life doesn't seem to have changed. When God saves you, he makes you a new creature. A new creature in Christ. And the reason for that is because when God saves you, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit lives within you. And therefore, You understand sin prior to being saved. You have scales upon your eyes. Yes, you might feel some kind of guilt towards man and towards law, but you carry on in your sin. But when God saves you, he lifts the scales from off your eyes. You're aware of your sin. And therefore, you cannot carry on in your sin happily. And today, it seems that so many so-called Christians carry on happily in their sin. Oh, they have that. My dad used to call it a passport, a bus ticket. Oh, I made a profession when I was 6 or 7 years old. I asked God into my heart, but there's been absolutely no fruit whatsoever from that profession. Let me tell you something. Jesus Christ went to the cross not only to save your soul from hell, but to save your life from sin. And there has to be a change. Old things. The old things. The drink. The filth. The language. The friends. The world. They're passed away. Behold, all things become new. What's that mean? Your love for Christ. Your love for God. Your love for his word. Your love for the place of prayer. You know, I struggle with so many Christians who have no interest in attending the place of prayer. It should be your delight. And tonight, I want you to examine your heart. I don't care how long you've been sitting in this church. Don't care if it's for a week. Don't care if it's for 40 years. I want you to examine your heart and ask yourself, am I a new creature in Christ? Is there fruit in my life? Have I got blessed assurance that Jesus is mine? Have you? The reason why I speak the way I speak and have a passion for it is because I have first-hand experience. I lived a lie for 20-odd years. I let on to be something that I wasn't. My Christianity was a sham. As many of you know, I am a minister's son. And my dad's retired now. He was a minister in Banbridge for many years. I have three brothers, so dear love my mother. She had four boys and no daughters. Now, I'm starting to understand how that feels, because I have three boys. And I can tell you they can be a handful at a time, so they can. But boys being boys, we were always getting up to no good. My dad would have been away preaching or doing missions or doing different things, and poor mum was stuck with us four hallions at home torturing her. And everything, we used to keep her going, we used to fight each other. But then she said those, always used to say those dreaded words, wait till your dad gets home. And I can tell you, the fear went up with them. And the fear really shook us when we heard those words. I could tell you many a story about how me and my brothers used to get up to no good. But you know, there are many things that I wasn't blessed with in life. I wasn't blessed with looks. Some people say I got hit with the ugly stick a few times. I certainly wasn't blessed with brains. And if you see my GCSE results, that would be proof and evidence of that. My father doesn't have any wealth, so I'm not going to inherit any great amount of money. He always says I'll inherit his bills. But there's one thing I was blessed with. And that was God-fearing, saved parents. And looking back, even thinking of my own children, there is no greater blessing in this world than to be brought up in a Christian home. And I see some young people here tonight. And if you're, the fact that you are here, thank God. Thank God for his hand upon you. I heard the gospel from since I can remember. Sunday school, church, youth fellowship, family worship. My dad every night at 6 o'clock, or about 6:30, used to have family worship. And we'd do it in the front room. And I remember when we lived in Ballygowan, especially during the summer, all my wee mates were always playing curbsy. I don't know if any of you know what curbsy is. There's a few laughing there. You know what curbsy is? Well, we used to play curbsy all summer, or play football, World Cup, whatever it be. And they would always be waiting for me to come out. But come 6:30, we would sit and do family worship. And at the end of it, my dad would make me and my brothers sing the doxology. My mates knew this, and they always used to look through the window and they used to laugh at me. They'd see the wee heads popping up, watching us singing the doxology. But I was truly blessed with the gospel and new fellowship, being brought up in the Free Presbyterian Church. And that's a blessing within itself. Because I can honestly say, every Sunday school, every youth fellowship, every church service, I heard the truth of the gospel. And that is a real blessing in itself. At the age of 9, we had just moved from Canada to Ballygowan, and we were living with my aunt and uncle in Lurgan until they got the manse ready in Ballygowan. And it was one night we were coming home from the evening service in Ballygowan, and me and my brothers were in the back fighting as usual. In those days, you didn't worry about seatbelts. The four of us would have been sitting in the back seat. And we're fighting, nipping, kicking, and doing the usual. And my dad used to say those words, "Don't make me stop this car." But I remember getting in home to my aunt's house in Lurgan. And I was upstairs, and my dad came upstairs, and I was sitting in the room. And out of the blue, and to this day, I don't know what made me say it, I wasn't feeling under conviction at the time. But out of the blue, I said to my dad, "Dad, I'd like to get saved." And my dad said, "Right." And there at the side of the bed, and my father led me to the Lord. Now, for a couple of weeks, I read my Bible. Went out the next day and went to the Christian bookshop. My dad bought me a Bible. And in the front of it, he wrote "saved" and such a date. And I read my Bible for a couple of weeks. But you know, it wasn't too long before I was back to my old way. And even at a young age, I remember playing down the park in Ballygowan, I had a foul mouth, especially for a minister's son. I had a foul mouth. I was always cursing, using bad language. And it wasn't long before I was back to my old way. There was no change. No change in my life whatsoever. However, everyone around me thought I had changed. And from that day, I was living two lives. There was the Free Presbyterian Johnny, and then there was the true Johnny. I started high school. I went to Cumber High. Now, people say the school days are the best days of your life. Maybe young people, you want to close your ears, but I disagree. I hated school with a passion. I hated every second of it. Me and my mate, we used to mitch off. And what we'd do is, in Ballygowan, there was three buses. One went to Newton Ards, one went to Saintfield, and one went to Belfast. And me and my mate used to zip up our jackets, and we used to jump on the Belfast bus. And we'd get off at the Castlereagh Road, and we'd spend hours playing snooker in the QE1 on the Castlereagh Road. If it was good weather, like it is now, we'd mosey on down into the city centre and sunbathe in front of the city hall. And then, to get home, we used to do a really stupid thing. And we used to hitchhike. And there used to be this guy, this man who drove a bin lorry or a skip lorry. And every now and again he would see us. And I think he was a lovely man. And I think he was just making sure that we got home safely. And we used to hitch a ride home. Recently I was giving him a testimony in Lurgan. And my dad was sitting. And I just seen the mouth getting lower and lower and lower. And the jaw, by the time I finished, his jaw was hitting the floor. But I thank God for keeping his hand upon me. You know, in school, there was one thing I didn't want to be known as. And that was a minister's son. I hated that title. And I would go out of my way to prove that I wasn't the good minister's son. And I got suspended for fighting. I was a nuisance in classes. And I really wanted to show that I wasn't a goody two-shoes. You know, there's many things in life I regret. And a fellow I went to school with, right through first year to fifth year, he's my best mate. We sat nearly in every class. You know, I seen him day in, day out. And I never once told him about the gospel. I never spoke about the Bible. I didn't speak about my upbringing. There was no talk about church. Even though he was my best friend. And don't forget, I had already made a profession. So in church life, people thought I was a Christian. And that best friend, before he reached his 18th birthday, was killed in a tragic car accident. And I'll never forget, we had just moved to Banbridge. And I'll never forget getting that phone call. Young person, you think that you have your whole life before you. But you don't know what's around the next corner. Older person, you might think, well, I've still a good 20, 30 years ahead of me. You don't know when that heart will stop. And here's the question. Here's why I'm here tonight. Are you ready? Are you truly saved? Say you're driving home tonight and you had a head-on collision. I was driving up the road tonight and there was this agent in a wee polo and he was all over the road. He must have been doing about 90 miles an hour. He was a fraction away from me. What if you met a car head-on? That was it. What if you put your head upon the pillow tonight and that pain came into the chest and instantly gone? Where would you open your eyes? Heaven or hell? I left school when I was 16. Started Short Brothers. Started an apprenticeship as an aircraft fitter. And really, up until then, I did leave a bit of a sheltered life. I had a few friends in Ballygowan. We used to get up to mischief, but nothing really bad as such in the world's eyes. And as I started Short Brothers, on a Monday morning, I used to hear all about the apprentices going to the nightclubs and drinking and taking drugs. And I was really shocked by this, how openly they talked about taking drugs. It would be the case at lunchtime, I started to gamble. We would play cards at lunchtime. But really, and my friends would say, look, are you coming to the nightclubs with me, the fellas I work with? And I used to say, no, I'm not going. To be honest, I was more interested in cars back then. I had a wee Renault 5 GT Turbo. Now, most of the people sitting here, some of the young people have no idea what I'm talking about. But back then, that was a wee sports car. It was a hot hatch. And I had it chipped up and souped up. And blew up the engine, and that was what all my money went into. And I used to put all my money into my car, and I was happy enough driving about in my wee car. And I actually had a Christian girlfriend at the time. And all the people in Ballinbridge at that time, my mother and father, even the Christian girlfriend, I even sat in prayer meetings. But in work, I was a different creature. The language was wild. The gambling. The jokes. There was nothing Christ-like about me whatsoever. I remember one day standing, working at the bench, and this wee man, came up, and I used to see him in the factory, and every time I walked past him, he was singing gospel hymns. Every time I walked past him. He had a smile on his face, and he was working away, and I recognized all the hymns, and I thought to myself, he's a free P. I know he is. He's got the look all about him of being a free P. And I said, I'm going to avoid him, because if he finds out who I am, he'll torture me. And one day I was working at the bench, and next thing I looked up, and there's a wee man standing over the bench looking at me. And he said, are you Johnny Whiteside? I did think of lying. I thought I was going to say a different name. I was going to say, no, I'm Bobby. Who are you? But I didn't. And he says, I says, yes. He says, I know your dad. He says, I'm the clerk of session in Portofogli Free Church. I'm Sammy. I says, Sammy, nice to meet you. Another lie. I wasn't too glad at all that I met him. But so Sammy would have came around every now and again, and he would preach to me. Not in a pointing a finger way, but out of love. He would have asked me, well, what was the minister speaking about yesterday? Did you take it on board? And he always used to walk away saying, I'm praying for you. I remember Sammy was leaving. He was leaving shorts. He was taking Fondry at Donnessy. And the man he was a shop steward. And all the men put money together and bought him a clock and different things. And they gave him a presentation. And for anybody who's ever worked in shorts, the factories aren't small. There's thousands of men in those factories. And Sammy was presented with his clock, and at least hundreds of men standing about him. And he took the clock, and he said, before I leave, before I say cheerio, one more last time, I want to tell you about Christ. And there he preached and told his workmates and his colleagues about the Saviour. And you know, it spoke to me that day. I could even shake his hand. I walked away in tears of the love that he showed for the Saviour. And I really realised that was a love that I did not have. I played football with a few boys on a Tuesday and a Thursday night in Ballinbridge. And one Tuesday night, one of the fellas said, we're going to the coach in Ballinbridge. Do you want to come along? And I says, well, I couldn't. He says, look, stay at our house. Make up an excuse and stay at our house. And so I went to the coach that night, that Saturday night. I sneaked in, and it started. So it started every Saturday night after Saturday night. I started to attend the coach. And I started to drink more and more. And I started to like the taste of alcohol more and more. And then the Friday night started as well. And then the Wednesday night. And before I knew it, I was really partying hard. And I was making a mess of my life. Then, once again, we're playing football. And one of the fellas says, look, my big brother and his mates are going up to Kelly's nightclub in Portrush. Would you go with us? And I knew from the apprentices and the fellows in work what happened at Kelly's. I knew it was a drug den. However, I agreed and I went with them to Kelly's nightclub. And I remember sitting in the back of the car, sitting in the middle seat, and we're driving up to Portrush from Ballinbridge. And the fellow beside me to my right, I didn't know him. But he brought out a bag of drugs. And he said, there are ecstasy tablets. And he says, do you want one? I says, no, you're all right. I wouldn't touch that stuff. He says, oh, it's all right, take one. And he kept at me and he kept at me. And remember we got into the car park in Kelly's nightclub and he actually broke it in half. A wee white dot. And he says, take half of it. And just to appease, just to get him off my back, peer pressure, I give in. Here is a minister's son of the Free Presbyterian Church standing with drugs in him and drink in Kelly's nightclub. That half became one. That one became two. And so it went on more and more, harder and harder drugs. Young person, listen to me. The devil will take you further than you're ever willing to go. Be careful of the company you keep. Please listen to me. It's only by the grace of God that I'm alive today. And I thank God for that grace. I remember it was New Year's Eve. And we went up to Kelly's nightclub. And we had paid money. It was £20 or something to get in. It was a big special night. And I remember going into the nightclub. And on the floor, you literally were bouncing. People were dancing out hard and drugs. Your feet were nearly lifting off the floor. And I remember standing there. And once again, I had drugs in me. But all of a sudden, out of the blue, I started to think of a verse as I was taught as a child. And it was John 3:16. And I started to think, standing in that nightclub, for God so loved Johnny that he gave his only begotten son for Johnny. And I sobered up immediately. And I fell under conviction. Nobody had spoke to me. Nobody had nothing had led up until that point. It literally was, God spoke to me through his word that I was taught as a child. I made an excuse. I said to my mates I wanted to go home. I wasn't feeling well. And so I went home. And I thank God that I never went near Kelly's nightclub since that night again. And I never touched another drug. And I wanted to get away from my old friends. And so I decided I was going to go contracting in the south of England. And leave shorts and leave my friends and go and live in England and earn better money contracting. But before I did, a friend of mine, he went to the Banbridge Church, says, look, before you go, would you come to the Easter Convention for us? Or with us? And I said, I kept putting him off and putting him off. And eventually I gave in. I said, yes, I'll go with you. And I went to the Easter Convention, and lo and behold, I met a girl at the Easter Convention on the Friday night. And I waved over, and we exchanged phone numbers. And so I phoned her up and she says, why don't you come and pick me up? I says, where do you live? And she says, Portavogue. And I says, where is that? She says, Portavogue. And I still had no idea where Portavogue was. And once again, driving to Portavogue, I got lost. I was come up from Ballywalter, and instead of turning right, I turned left and ended back up in Bangor. No idea where I was. And maybe you can understand now my sense of direction isn't very good. But eventually got to her house, and there standing at the door, you'll never guess who it was. Do you remember the wee man in shorts that used to speak to me, Sammy? It was his daughter. And Sammy was standing at the door with a walking stick, going, right, my boy, I want a word for you. Isn't it wonderful? See, you can see it, how God's working in my life. The grace of God the love of God. I'm a stinking, filthy old sinner. But yet, there's God working it out all my life. The right people, the right parents, everything. All things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And so I started going out with Lee. I'd stay at Lee's house. I'd sleep in the living room. And Sammy and Shirley would say, look, Shirley would say, I'll make your Sunday dinner for you. I'll even wash your clothes for work. I'll even make you a packed lunch. But there's one condition. You come to church with us on Sunday. And so I was under the sound of the gospel once again. And I would attend Port of Vogue, Free Presbyterian Church. And me and Lee got engaged. And we went around to see Mr. Goods and asked him to marry us. And we went around and it was a Sunday afternoon. And we sat in the manse and Mr. Goods started asking some questions. He wanted to see if we were equally yoked. And so he looked at me, Mr. Goods being Mr. Goods, in his Australian accent, said, Johnny, if you were to die right now, where would you be? And immediately in my head, I said, hell. I knew that was a wake-up call for me. I pulled out the old childhood profession, the empty one. He says, well, I made a profession when I was 9 years old. And straight away, he said, by their fruits you shall know them. He didn't let me off of it. He asked Lee the same question. And Lee gave the same answer as me. Lee was in the same condition as me. It was Easter 2000. And we're in church that Sunday night. And sit beside Sammy and Shirley. And the Reverend Harton was a visiting preacher that Sunday night. And the Reverend Harton was preaching on procrastination, putting something off until tomorrow. And since that time, in the manse of Mr. Goods, I was under great conviction. So was Lee. And I used to be a head case in the car. I used to take in the car. But now I was terrified in the car. I was terrified of dying. I remember putting my head on the pillow at night, praying that I wouldn't die, because I wasn't ready. And I was under conviction. That Easter Sunday night, Mr. Hart was preaching on procrastination, putting off what you can do tonight until another time. And as he finished, he reached over and he pointed. And I thought he was pointing at me. In fact, it felt as if there was nobody else in that meeting. And he said, young man, what if tomorrow never comes? And the conviction and the weight upon my back. And I couldn't wait to get out of the church fast enough. And we got into the car and we're driving up to Lee's mum and dad. On a Sunday night, the whole family, cousins, aunts, uncles, everyone used to go to Sammy's house and they would have a supper. And we're driving up to Lee's mum and dad's house. And on the way up, out of the blue, Lee said, I want to get saved. I said, saved? Even though I was under conviction. She says, yes. And I says, well, Lee, if you get saved, I can't marry you. Now, here's a Free Presbyterian minister's son trying to talk his fiance out of getting saved. But God was dealing with Lee. And Lee says, well, that's up to you, but I need to get saved. And she got into the house and she spoke to her dad and they went to another room. And I was sitting in the lounge. Now, everybody must have seen it in my face because you couldn't get a seat usually in the lounge. We had to sit on the floor with so many people on a Sunday night. But I was the only person sitting in the lounge. I don't know where the rest of them went. But I was sitting in that seat under so much conviction. God really started to deal with me. And he reached down. And he called me. Johnny. And there in that lounge, I was broken. I was a filthy, stinking sinner. And I needed Christ. I got up and I was walking down the hall. And Lee said she got saved and hugged her. And Sammy said, Johnny, what about you? I said, Sammy, I know what I need to do. I went into the wee room and I got on my knees. And I simply prayed. I cried, Lord, save me. And he did. And do you know something? It was the best night's sleep I ever had. Why? Because from that night forward, I have full assurance of salvation. Christ died for me. And I'm a child of his. And no matter what this life throws at me, and we've been through some tough and difficult times, but through it all, the Lord has carried us through it. Are you saved? Have you got that full assurance of salvation? My time is gone. But I want to tell you this story just as a close. I have a wee uncle. And he's 93. Lives in Ballywalter. And he married my aunt when he was about 50. Now, he's a war veteran. He lost his arm in World War II. And he was an atheist. He hated the gospel. But he met my aunt and he got wonderfully saved under my dad's ministry in Ballygown. And I'm the closest relative and I call in every now and again to make sure that they're okay. And one night I got a phone call from my aunt and she says, Johnny, would you come and see your Uncle Sam? He's not well. And I drove around and sure enough, he was at death's door. He had pneumonia. And he was seriously, seriously ill. And he wouldn't let me phone an ambulance. He didn't want the neighbours thinking that he was old and he needed an ambulance. And I says, well, you've got a choice, Sam. I says, either I phone the ambulance with the lights blurring or you get in the car and I bring you to hospital. And we got him in the car. And he was that ill, actually. I stopped the car on the Portofrey Road. I thought he had gone. I thought he had passed away. It felt as if he'd stopped breathing. And I slowed the car down. But we got him to the hospital and they rushed him into intensive care, and Sam was in intensive care for a good 4 or 5 months, and he was that ill he didn't even speak to anyone. I had infection through his body, his kidneys started to fail and liver started to fail. He was really, really ill, but he came through it. And I remember going up to see him and he had just started to come around. He was talking to people and I remember sitting on the edge of the bed and I thought I was a great fella. I thought he was a big fella. I got him to hospital. I saved him. So I sit and I says, well, Sam, we got you to hospital okay. He goes, aye, why'd you do that for? And I looked at him, I says, what, Sam? He says, why did you do that for? I says, you were sick, you were dying. He says, Johnny, I'm ready to die. I want to be with my Saviour. And he witnessed to me that night that he would never fear death again because the Lord was waiting for him. And he has that assurance of when he dies, he'll be a present with the Lord. Have you got that assurance? Now, I started with a question and I'm going to finish with the same question. Are you a new creature in Christ? You see, the drugs, the drink, the cursing, the gambling have passed away in my life. I'm by no means a saint. And I fall day and daily. But God has changed me. His word is precious. The prayer meetings are precious. Driving halfway around the country to tell folks of my Saviour is precious. I'm changed. I'm saved. I'm under the blood. And nobody can take that away from me. Are you? See, if you're not, before you leave tonight, why don't you just cry that cry that I did? Lord, save me.